Daily, more people are becoming aware that the body is an expression of mind and reflects harmony or discord according to thought. Today, magazines, radio, television, daily newspapers, and many other communication media are informing the sick that disease can be a wake-up call. When Mrs. Eddy said, "Sickness is the schoolmaster leading you to Christ," she was aware that often a severe illness brings the conviction that unconditional love is needed in order to gain and retain health and put joy into life. An illness can make it easier to request and accept love and to give it in return. Sometimes a lessening of today's frantic pace to get to the top is also necessary. "We can't all be heroes," said Will Rogers, "because someone has to sit on the curb and clap as they go by." Thus, a period of being confined to a bed can prove beneficial, giving time to think, to reflect, meditate, assess one's lifestyle, determine what is really important, and perhaps chart a new course, perhaps to do what one has always wanted to do. The world's leading physicians, having witnessed so many Christian Science healings of disease thought to be incurable, are now taking the first steps toward emphasizing the mental nature of disease. They see the need for a light-hearted attitude and are beginning to agree with Mrs. Eddy that there are wit, humor, and enduring vivacity among God's people. The Associate Dean of History at the University Medical School, Rochester, New York, informed a class of medical students that between 1920 and 1940, a revolution in medicine occurred because of the many Christian Science healings observed by physicians, causing the medical profession to try to, quote, clean itself up, unquote. Several attempts have also since been made, he declared, to bring it more in line with the spiritual approach. The most advanced in the profession are all beginning to see the vital importance of a right attitude. Of old, the Bible has recommended, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine," and doctors are advocating cheerfulness as the most inexpensive commodity, advising, "Always laugh when you can. It is cheap medicine, for a laugh a day keeps the doctor away." Recognizing the healing power of joy, they are in fact drawing on the life that is soul, in which there are no sin, sickness, and death. Page 272, "We have no right to assume that individuals have grown or been formed under circumstances that made matter conditions essential to their maintenance and reproduction, unless we dismiss reason and revelation utterly." Unquote. Jesus required neither cycles of time nor thought in order to mature fitness for perfection and its possibilities. He said that the kingdom of heaven is here and is included in mind, your mind. That while ye say, "There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest," I say, "Look up, not down, for your fields are already white for harvest, and gather the harvest by mental, not material processes." That's from Unity and Good. Jesus, without storehouses or barns, instantly produced food for the 5,000, raised the dead with a single command, instantly healed all manner of sin, sickness, and discord, just as you and I instantly correct 2 times 2 equals 5 whenever seen. Mrs. Eddy's writings, when understood, enable man to rise out of the bitter, grinding, spiritual poverty inflicted upon him by material sense, to lift himself out of the ghetto of sensuality, where he has been since he ate of the serpent's dust in the Adam dream, the universal hypnotism that makes him think he's immortal. The vast human illusion constituting the human or mortal mind can only be dissolved by the light of spiritual understanding, the knowledge that love alone is life, and love constitutes our being. Once this light of divine understanding comes to us, We must continue to study and learn so that we can see this light embracing all others. No matter what the cost, sell all thou hast and pay the price. Pay the price of watching every thought. Moses, the prophets, Jesus, the apostles, and Mary Baker Eddy are our examples. Only by watching our thinking, to see that it accords with reality, do we learn our oneness with infinite good and realize our present ownership of all good. Page 273. The science of being alone solves the problem of man harmoniously. God giveth not a stone for bread. When we ask earnestly and strive for health to be useful, able to do good to ourself and others, why does He, Divine Love, withhold it? These are unanswerable questions, irreconcilable with wisdom, until we learn that God is not a person, but principle, and that we must understand this principle to direct our being in harmony with it, and then we shall be able to govern the physical and mental. This explanation is a crucial point in the first edition. Remember, the principle we must become one with is love. Once perceiving the mental hallucination that embitters existence, we shall unmake what mind, mortal mind, illusion has made. God, infinite good, sends not one of our diseases, and matter cannot create sensation, nor can it govern mind. Error alone produces error, and all sickness and every discord of earth is error. Error must be destroyed at its fountainhead, or it will resume its old proportions and relations. Christian Science lays the axe at the root of sin, error, and destroys it on the very basis of nothingness. It must be seen as hypnotism, a mirage. Sin, however, must be uncovered before it can be destroyed. He who sees sin and condemns it not will suffer for it, Mrs. Eddy warned. She deplored the unseen wrong to individuals and society done by sticklers for a false, convenient peace, because they are too cowardly, too ignorant, or too wicked to uncover error, and excuse themselves by denying that this evil, hypnotic suggestion, exists. Mrs. Eddy realized the cardinal point of difference between her metaphysical system and others was that in science, by knowing the unreality of sin, disease, and death, you demonstrate the allness of God. This difference, she said, wholly separated her system from all others. The important words are knowing and demonstrate. Page 274. Man is not the offspring of sense, but of soul, and coexistent with God. The fact that modern researches prove animal existence in some instances free from its lowest instinct, notably the bee and butterfly, is worthy of our philanthropy, and points to the future footsteps of the science of being. The great point to understand the principle of being, the life that is eternal, the circle of life explained earlier, without beginning and without end. Unquote. Mrs. Eddy is here telling us that sensuality is the basis of the belief, the illusion of life, substance, and intelligence in matter. Mortal personality is nothing more than a long line of mortal relationships with its prejudices, doubts, and fears. Unquote. The illusion of life in matter fades out proportionately as we become increasingly aware that mind is the only power. Spirit is the only substance, and that we do not have a separate existence or consciousness of our own, but rather that the infinite good that we call God constitutes our being. The spiritual body is the only body. On page 275 we read, "We cannot reach this principle unless it be understood. Man's immortality even hangs on understanding the science of being. Because God is the only life and principle of man, that which is good is all that is immortal. But to prove our ignorance of this, we have only to point to the tenacity with which we cling to beliefs of sickness and death. Had we the understanding of our God being or the omnipotence of truth, we should have no fear of matter, illusion. And, having none, our bodies would become harmonious and immortal. A belief of substance matter would then give place to the understanding of substance spirit, for the spiritual body is the only real one and tangible as the material. Believing the testimony of the five physical senses is the open door through which universal hypnotic suggestion holds us in bondage. Holding to the truth that we are one with divine principle, the kingdom of God within us, sensualism loses its power over us. We become less and less conscious of the flesh, until finally that illusion fades out entirely. Page 276. Again we state, all is mind. There is no matter. And this needs only to be understood to establish harmony perpetual. Mind is the only actor and produces mind, namely the truth or error of man. Matter is not an entity or reality. From the deep sleep that fell upon Adam, Eve was produced. In sleep, cause and effect are beliefs only, that which seems and not that which really is. This was the advent of mortal and material man. All that originated in Adam, that supposed agenda to creation, was not good. It was illusion, the offspring of a dream. Hence, it was a belief only, and not the reality of being. Sin, sickness, and death were embraced in this belief of life in matter, and are the dream and not the reality of life. We classify belief as error, inasmuch as it embraces all that is mortal discord. It changed the standpoint of being from spirit to matter, from understanding to belief, yea, from God to man. Adam was the impersonation of error. We should not even admit that mortal life is a dream, because to admit it is a dream is to admit it is something when it is hypnotic suggestion only, since God is the only life. The eye of our being is always God's presence. It never dreams. Life, the principle of our being, has no beginning and no ending. It is forever the eternal now of love in action. The fullness of infinite good is expressed as us, as the I of you. Latent within our consciousness lies heaven, harmony, infinite boundless bliss, encompassing every quality and attribute of God. Page 277. Conditions of matter are conditions of small m mind instead. When mortal belief says an egg produces man, this condition becomes as fixed and imperative as the original one of a rib. There is no mortal man. The sleep of Adam was what today we term mesmerism, in which belief creates and then controls all it creates. According to what small m mind says of matter, it appears. Hence we learn all material things are formed by small m mind first and last. Belief may adopt any condition whatsoever, and that will become its imperative mode of cause and effect. The infinite and all-wise maker condemned this creation, and let it have its experience before the sentence of our God was executed upon it. Unquote. Objects of sense, when correctly understood, are really ideas of soul. There are not two groups of creation, Mrs. Eddy told Martha Wilcox, after explaining to her that when a sense of personality rises up before our thought and makes us think it is something outside and separate from our thought, we must see it is all within our own thought. If it wasn't, we couldn't heal a single case. If it wasn't mental and something within our own thought, we would have no dominion over it. When, quote, I know that a patient is God's presence, that knowing is oneness with God, and one with God is a majority. This supposititious mortal mind, Mrs. Eddy said, outlines itself as a belief, illusion, of material personality, with form and conditions and laws and circumstances, in fact with all the phenomena that are embraced in what is called material life and personality, unquote. Then she said that not one single solitary thing in this whole fabric of supposititious evil is true, and it is up to us to detect that all these mental phenomena are only aggressive mental suggestions coming to us for us to adopt them as our own thought. She said that error comes to us for life, and we give it all the life it has. Our instant reaction to error should be, God is the only power, the only presence. I am a divine being now, here. So get thee behind me, Satan. Hypnotic suggestion. Understanding is the hinge on which everything turns. Infinite Good's creation consists of qualities and formations of divine character, which include every spiritual quality and attribute of the mind that is love. Once you spiritually understand this, you will no longer believe the lie that you live in a physical body or have a material personality, but you will realize you have a divinely mental individuality, a spiritual identity, having the consciousness only of good. The time is coming when that manner of love which the Father hath bestowed upon you will be realized. You will then know that the infinite mind that is God is your mind, that divine intelligence, infinite good, is your substance, and love is your principle. Page 279. Adam, being created before Eve, proves the maternal egg never propagated him, and Eve, being formed of Adam's rib, shows her origin was not that from the maternal egg. Through the study of Christian Science, we enter the gate that shuts out all that belongs to the flesh in origin and manifestation. And the sooner we realize the utter nothingness of the evidence of the physical senses, Mrs. Eddy explained to a student, the sooner we arrive at the science of being. Page 280. The poisonous reptile, bird of prey, beast, carnivorous, and mortal man are products of mortal belief, of error and not truth, of sense instead of soul, your true identity. The belief that life and intelligence belong to the body, the belief that came when the veil of human birth was dropped over our eyes, is the source of all wrong thinking and wrong acting. It takes away from soul and gives to sense, to illusion, and is the fountain of sickness, sin, and death. All formations are shadows of being, and we their soul and substance. These true formations flow out from the kingdom of God within us, unquote. As Christian Science destroys the illusion that we live in a matter body, the truth that principle and its idea is one will appear. The error relating to soul and body reverses the order of science and assigns to matter the power and prerogative of spirit, so that man becomes the most absolutely weak and inharmonious creature in the universe. This error is too unreasonable to last another century. Chapter 4 ends on the happy note that at the expiration of the 7,000-year period, truth will be generally comprehended, and science will have rolled back the darkness that now hides the eternal sunshine and lifts the curtain on paradise, the paradise we lived in before the dream of human birth, the Adam dream, overtook us. The paradise where earth produces at the command of intelligence and soul, instead of sense, governs man. Unquote. So we have come to the final paragraph of chapter 4, creation, in the little book, open in the hand of the angel, which has bluntly and honestly given us the text of truth. As our thought has embraced the science of being, we have learned the I of us is God, and that there is but one I or us. Prayer then becomes receptivity, a turning to the I, the kingdom of God within you, within your own true consciousness, which is God. Thus, when we pray, Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious, adorable one, we can know, I am adorable one. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present means the true I is here. I am come. This I isn't just a word. It is you. There is no low here or low there, for the kingdom of God is within you, within me. Ye are the temple of the living God. The real I of you is God, your ever-present divine consciousness. This is why Scripture says, The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Because I am spirit, I include and impart all bliss, for I am love. It is all within the I that is you. It is not something to be obtained, since the I of you and infinite good are already one. As you become aware that true prayer is getting a personal sense of self out of the way, as you listen for the voice of the I within you, and as that I that you are is realized, it speaks to you, reveals itself to you, and error disappears. A lesson from Voyager 2. A marvelous demonstration in quiet listening to a higher voice comes from Spaceship Voyager 2. Mr. Richard Barrett tells us that Voyager's detailed pictures of Neptune and Triton are so remarkable that the stunning engineering achievement of getting information back across 3 billion miles with a minuscule radio transmitter and the lesson that could be taken from it has tended to get lost like a fainter light in the presence of the sun. According to space scientists, the Voyager 2 transmitter used less than 22 watts, about as much power as the light bulb in a refrigerator. By the time the signal reached any point on Earth, it amounted to 1/4 of a watt, or about 20 billion times less energy than a digital watch uses. To read the strings of numbers from which the computers created the pictures, the scientists needed an antenna surface equal to several football fields. Voyager has a lesson for us, if we'll but take it. Grand spiritual messages from the kingdom of God within you can get through when we suppress the noise and let a still small voice have its say. As Mrs. Eddy told Judge Hanna, By the grace and authority of God, you can shut out mortal mind's frenetic noise and clamor and hear what the kingdom of God within you is saying. Part 2. Review of First Edition, Chapters 1, 2, and 3. Brief 17. The First Edition was Mrs. Eddy's highest revelation. Her last edition was the broadest embracing universal man. The following is a brief review of salient points from the first 3 chapters of Mrs. Eddy's first edition of Science and Health, The Little Book Brought by the Mighty Angel, in Revelation's 10th chapter, designed to resurrect the dead, those buried above the ground, in dogmas and physical beliefs and ailments. The statements in her first edition were mainly in the absolute. This is because man's 7th rung on the ascending ladder had taken him to heaven. And heaven is where woman, the descending idea, starts. This is why her first edition is generally considered her highest revelation of truth, while her last edition is deemed the broadest. The first edition's great spiritual height, starting from heaven, put it far from the goal of general human understanding, and necessitated many further additions explaining her great revelation. So it was that man's pinnacle, or greatest height, is where woman began in the descending order. Mrs. Eddy's individual vision, as seen in the first edition of Science and Health, started at the portals of heaven, in the oneness of God and man, and the allness of good. The city foursquare, the bride, Mrs. Eddy's vision, descends. Woman is a descending idea, because woman, symbolizing generic man, must embrace the entire world, making heaven omnipresent. In reading Mary Baker Eddy's many editions of Science and Health, we should recall Zechariah, which pictures, quote, two olive branches, which, through two golden pipes, empty the golden oil out of themselves, unquote. The two, anointed with divine light, are Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy. All through the first edition, we see Mrs. Eddy giving Jesus credit for the divine revelation that came to her direct from God, and which enabled her to see the science that lay behind the stupendous life work of the Master, Christ Jesus. Do we fully realize that Mrs. Eddy has given us much that Jesus did not give, as Jesus himself said would happen? He said, "I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Many do not realize how limited the Christian conception of Jesus was before the advent of Mary Baker Eddy. Little was preached beyond a crucified Savior dying to appease an angry God, and man's salvation depending on asking forgiveness, etc. Mrs. Eddy's life work fulfilled the prophecies Jesus gave to St. John on the Isle of Patmos, which prophesied the progressive footsteps that would unfold truth, such as stars, cloud, sun, wedding in heaven, bride as city foursquare, and tree of life in the city of our God. The first edition, while containing her highest statements, was clothed with a cloud, meaning it needed the other 431 editions to clarify her revelation and discovery in order to fulfill the prophetic vision given us in the book of Revelation. How you become the light of the world. Mary Baker Eddy's writings are the way-shower to this age, enabling you to become the light of the world as you gain spiritual understanding. This is why a voice from harmony cries, "Go and take the little book. Take it and eat it up. Digest its contents." This will enable you to see through the hypnotism that seems to chain you to a matter body and to sin, sickness, death. First edition excerpts from Chapter 1, Natural Science. The God-crowned woman symbolizes your identity. The necessity to learn what we divinely are. On page 11, we read, "Spirit is truth, matter its opposite, error, illusion. And these two forces control man and the universe, and are the tares, aggressive mental suggestion, and wheat, truth, the kingdom of God within your spiritual consciousness, that never mingle, but grow side by side, until the harvest, until matter, hypnotic suggestion, is self-destroyed. For not until then do we learn ourselves spirit, that which is symbolized by the 12 stars on the head of the God-crowned woman, and yield up the ghost of error, the hypnotism, that would make substance, life, and intelligence matter." Unquote. How do we become spirit, or that which is symbolized by the God-crowned woman? What realization must take place before we overcome bondage to the testimony of the 5 physical senses and win and wear the crown of rejoicing? Science and Health asks, "Through toil, struggle, and sorrow, what do mortals attain?" And answers, "They give up their belief in perishable life and happiness, the mortal and material return to dust, and the immortal, your God being, is reached, your crown of rejoicing is achieved. How long must this struggle go on? Until the human mind ceases to entertain the erroneous material conception of life and joy, and the true idea is gained from the immortal side. Belief in material suffering causes mortals to retreat from their error, to flee from body to spirit, and to appeal to divine sources outside of themselves. In this way, we step by step encompass the 12 stars on the heavenly woman's crown that symbolize the spiritually forward steps all mortals must take before they can be crowned with the glory of a sublime success. This is the message of the cross and crown symbol on the cover of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, the Christian Science textbook. It tells us, love must triumph over hate. Truth and life must seal the victory over error and death before the thorns can be laid aside for a crown. Jesus patiently persisted. We too must persist, remembering that diamonds were only lumps of coal that stuck to their job. Taking up arms against error, grappling with sin in themselves and others, and continuing this warfare until they have finished their course is what makes a Christian. Page 38. To gain this understanding of soul, our true identity, 'tis necessary to understand oneself, spirit. Jesus regarded himself principle instead of person. Jesus reckoned himself not matter, but spirit, not sense, but soul. He said, I and the Father, the understanding of principle, are one. Understanding himself soul instead of body, and that soul was God, brought down upon him the anathemas of the world. Unquote. The persecution experienced by Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy showed the world the power of overcoming. The understanding of Mary Baker Eddy's writings lifts you high above the perishing fossils of theories already antiquated and enables you to grasp the spiritual facts of being, hitherto unattained and seemingly dim. Grasping the spiritual facts of being enables us to reckon ourselves spirit, not matter, soul, not sense. The spiritual evolution set at work by Mary Baker Eddy's discovery of divine science is exercising its divine power through life, truth, and love to bring about a great spiritual change. This change is enabling us to realize our divinity, our Christhood. It is enabling us to see generic man, love's idea of itself. In our true state, individual man individualizes generic man. This individualization of generic man, the Christ or whole, complete man, is always latent within our own individual divine consciousness as the compound idea which includes everything that exists. All are therefore destined to awake to know their present ownership of all good. Page 43. Man is safe in soul, in the realization of his true identity, the principle of being. But out of this, believing the evidence of the five physical senses, which present merely hypnotic suggestion, he is a reed shaken by the wind, tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Until the body is realized sensationless through science, man is not safe, since he is under a hypnotic spell. Every feeling there betrays where he holds himself. Every pain and pleasure of sense, every hope, ambition, and joy that has its foundation in matter, in universal hypnotic suggestion, reckons against the science of our course and must be destroyed. Destroyed by seeing it as merely a mirage, an illusion. A realization of our divine identity is gained through intellectual wrestling and collisions with old-time faiths. Christian scientists should be members of that small group of wise thinkers who work through and past the old-time faiths and learn the science of their being, learn the new tongue, which in the textbook speaks of the matrix of immortality, the numerals of infinity, the divine infinite calculus, laws, orders, systems, structures, which all tell us that the categories of metaphysics rest on one basis, the divine mind. Mary Baker Eddy's descending mission uses these categories of divine metaphysics to explain our divinity. This explanation is enabling mortals to drop off their mental swaddling clothes and assert their freedom from the material senses. Page 45. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the principle of all being. Unquote. This principle of all being is the I, or ego, of each individual. There is but one I, or us. There can be no us unless each sees himself as the one that is one with God. It is only because this I is the I of everyone that there can be spiritual oneness. This is also the reason spiritual healing can take place, because as the practitioner sees the truth for his own I, he sees it also for your I, since there is only one I. This is why the Bible says, "Physician, heal thyself," and why one on God's side is a majority. This spiritual oneness constitutes generic man, whose senses are spiritual and thus are forever intact. It is your I, your consciousness, that is God. And out of this divine consciousness, which you are, as you go to the kingdom of God within, flows spiritual understanding. The sense of a selfhood apart from God must be crucified. On page 46 we read, "But how shall we escape from the flesh or mortality? By understanding we were never flesh, that we are spirit and not matter. When the belief that we inhabit a body is destroyed, we shall live, but our body will have no sensation." Unquote. Through spiritual education we are learning that every visible form is evidencing the omnipresence of an eternal spiritual idea. All are destined to free themselves from the hypnotism, the aggressive mental suggestion that makes man believe there are mortals who give birth to other mortals, other fleshly bodies. The time approaches when mortal mind will forsake its corporeal, structural, and material basis, when immortal mind and its formations will be apprehended in the truth as taught in science, and material beliefs will not interfere with spiritual facts. Unquote. It was Jesus' realization of truth that enabled him to become the truth, as he said, "I am the way, I am the truth." The physical, corporeal sense of Jesus, of which he said, "I can of mine own self do nothing," namely the mortal, had to be dropped, had to be crucified. And the absolute conviction that I am the truth, meaning the kingdom of God within my own consciousness, can do all things, had to be glorified in order to gain the ascension above mortal mind, above the sense of a selfhood apart from God. It is the same with you and me and every individual. In the resurrection and ascension, Jesus was returning to his Father's house, to that glory for which he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. In that glory, when all sense of a material, corporeal selfhood had been relinquished, crucified, Jesus would no longer say, "Of mine own self I can do nothing." Being one with the Father, mind, he could do all things, because he understood himself, principle, or the Father appearing as the Son. In the transfiguration scene, already touched upon, man's eternal, timeless, spaceless identity and tangibility were demonstrated. Jesus proved to his disciples that Moses and Elijah were alive, as is everyone who has passed beyond our sight, and that they are right here in a form discernible to cultivated spiritual sense. This is why we cannot look away from or shut out the form that appears before our eyes, but must conceive it rightly. We must become the bride, God, who conceives man in the idea of God. As Jesus explained to Philip, "He that hath seen me, he that has seen the spiritual body of God right where the illusion of a material body seems present to corporeal sense, hath seen the Father. If ye had known me, understood me correctly, ye should have known my Father, the mind that is love, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Conceiving man correctly is what Scripture calls the bride, the Word. We conceive man rightly through the teachings of the bride, the second coming of the Christ. This teaching, as was prophesied, encompasses the teaching of Christ Jesus, where it is prophesied that a woman shall compass a man. You become the bride of spirit as you arise from your false consciousness into the true sense of love, and are love wedded to its own spiritual idea. That is, you must become the Lamb, purified human consciousness, which you already are and always have been, but mesmerism has kept you unaware of it. Today, you are gaining the realization of it through an understanding of science. What is the spiritual idea that the bride, God, is wedded to? It is the spiritual understanding of all Mary Baker Eddy has written in the second coming of the Christ, which includes the teachings of Christ Jesus. Then, as a result of this spiritual understanding, cometh the marriage feast, your marriage to life, truth, and love, where you find you are life, truth, and love, bodiless bliss. For this revelation will destroy forever the physical plagues imposed by material sense, by universal hypnotic suggestion. Page 47. God, mind, divine principle, is the only origin of man. The conception of Jesus illustrated this truth. Jesus was the idea of this principle, but born of a woman, of a virgin, that is, having in part a personal origin, he blended the idea of life that is God with the belief of life in matter, and became the connecting link between science and personal sense. Quote, "and took upon himself flesh," unquote, became apparent as the halfway position of positive science. Thus, to meditate between God and man, in other words, to present the idea of God that revealed life outside of matter, in contradistinction to the belief of life in matter, and demonstrated the truth that man is idea and not matter substance. Unquote.